Genesis chapter 50. The title of this message this morning is, What Was Meant For Our Harm, God Can Turn It Into Good. And I was going to finish off our mini-series that we started a few weeks ago. That was entitled, What's My Gift and Where Do I Fit? But the Holy Spirit impressed upon me, actually, when I was out doing one of my walks. How are we as a church going to live out our faith, our witness, during this unprecedented time? And I decided then that I would land that series next Sunday on the 5th. But today I want to look at the story of Joseph, Genesis chapter 37 through to 50. Now you can relax, we're not going to read 14 chapters of Genesis. But that's the story of Joseph. And one verse in particular stood out to me. And it's from the New Living Translation, Genesis 50, verse 20. And it goes like this. This is Joseph talking to his brothers. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Now, before I unpack that verse, let's just quickly recap the story of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37 through to 50, Joseph is one of 12 brothers to their father, Jacob. Joseph was highly favored by Jacob because he bore him, well, he didn't bear him, but he had him in his old age. Jacob made a richly ornamented coat for Joseph. And that's the backstory to the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. You may remember it. I think Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, I think, were the ones that wrote that, that powerhouse team of writers. Joseph's brothers were, and I can kind of understand this to a certain level, but anyway, they were jealous of him. And chapter 37, 4 says, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Please hold that thought. One day the brothers plotted to kill Joseph, but his brother Reuben intervened and instead said, let's throw him into a pit. It was a cistern which would normally have water in it, a well, but this one was a dry cistern. And while Reuben was away, happened to go somewhere, I'm not sure where he went, the others decided to sell Joseph to this caravan of traders that were on their way to Egypt. So they sold him because they didn't want the blood of their brother on their hands. They also took his coat of many colors. They covered it in goat's blood, took it to their father Jacob and said, a wild animal has killed him and taken him, and this is all that remains. Well, of course, Jacob was absolutely distraught about that. As the story goes, Joseph was sold by the traders to a man called Potiphar in Egypt. He was the captain of the king's guard, or Pharaoh's guard. And the interesting thing about this is, in the midst of slavery, Joseph, as a slave, was a success and a blessing to his master and his master's household. We'll talk about that later. In chapter 39, verse 5 says, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian, that's Potiphar, because of Joseph, including, by the way, church, blessed his crops and his livestock. Anyway, one day Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, but he refused her advances, smart man. Joseph said in chapter 39, verse 9, no one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Well, as it turns out, that didn't stop her. She continued. She did not let up. Frustrated by Joseph's faithfulness to his God and to her husband, she continued her assault. And one day, got him alone, and he ran out of the house and she screamed rape because he left behind his cloak, and she held on to the cloak, and she took the cloak to her husband, who came home at some point at the end of the day, and said, look what your servant has done to me, or tried to do to me. Of course, Potiphar, who did not know the full story, he did not know the truth of what had happened, threw Joseph in jail. Listen to this, church. But even in jail, Joseph prospered. The prison warder put him in charge over all the other prisoners. Verse 30 says, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So while he's in jail, the king's chief cupbearer and chief baker had a falling out with Pharaoh, and they were thrown into jail too. While in jail, the king's chief, one night, they had a dream. But there was no one there to interpret their dream except Joseph. This was one of the gifts that God gave him. The chief cupbearer, who had been restored back to his position, was with the king. The king had had two dreams on a particular night. And he summoned all of the magicians and all his wise men to interpret the dream for him, but no one could do it. But the chief cupbearer, who had been in jail, remembered what Joseph had done for him and interpreted his dream. He said to the king, I know someone who might be able to interpret that dream or those dreams for you. Well, Joseph was duly summoned to Pharaoh. He interpreted the king's dream, telling him that there would be 7 years of plenty for the nation, followed by 7 more years of famine. And he also advised the king how he could mitigate or avoid this national disaster. The king was suitably impressed, so much so that he immediately made Joseph the second most powerful man in Egypt, second only to himself. Chapter 41 of Genesis, you can read that story. Now that's the context of Joseph's situation and this morning's message. Let's pray. Father, I ask that as your words of life are spoken, God, that they will penetrate into our soul, that they will come through this live stream from this home and go into the lives and the hearts of all of the people in the life of our church and anyone else that is listening to this live stream. I pray that Holy Spirit, you will speak to your people. You will speak into the lives of each one who is listening. And I ask that in Jesus' name. You know, church, what I want to speak into your spirit this morning is simply this. Not every bad or negative circumstance need have a bad outcome. In Genesis 50:20, this is Joseph speaking to his brothers. You intended to harm me, he said. But God intended what you had planned, and I paraphrase this, he intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. You know, there are so many biblical principles embedded in this passage that you could write a book on it, probably a whole volume of books on them. But here are 7 principles, 7 values, 7 important guidelines and rules for believers to live by that in doing so, I believe, point people to Christ. They see Jesus in us because they live with these values, these principles. We see these in Joseph. And the first one is this. This will not be a surprise for you. Trust God first, not your circumstances. Trust in God first. Trust what God has said to you. Sure, we have to be aware of our circumstances, absolutely. But at the end of the day, it's not what circumstances say, it's what God says, or what God has said. You know, Joseph's brothers beat him and threw him into a pit to die. Then in a moment of guilt, they sold him into slavery. They hauled him out of the pit and sold him to this caravan of traders that were on their way to Egypt. And by the way, Joseph at that stage was 17 years of age. He's just a young man. Imagine that as a 17-year-old. And the circumstances facing Joseph, at least from his perspective, must have looked really, really bleak. Here's my question. Do you think that Joseph would have had times of doubt about who God is at that point? Do you think that he would have had times of despair, times of gloom, even despondency? Well, I do. I absolutely do. I probably would have, and if you're honest, you probably would have too. But in spite of those normal, natural emotions that everyone would feel, or most people would feel, Joseph remained steadfast and faithful, trusting in God's unchanging goodness, God's mercy, and God's grace. You know, when you find yourself in the pits of life, and maybe you're feeling that right now as you are in lockdown, in isolation because of COVID-19, sometimes the tendency is to turn your back on God. Now you might be thinking, where is God in this? Where is God at this time? And I want to encourage you this morning, please listen to this. God has not forgotten you. I want to reassure you, He's right there with you in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of your fear and your anxiety, in the midst of this isolation. In the world that we currently live in, folks, good circumstances and evil circumstances are ever present. They are always there. The Bible doesn't guarantee anybody a trouble-free life, I wish. Which is why we need God, folks. It's why turning to Him and not from Him will ultimately see His will done in your life if you continue to trust in Him. You know, I don't believe for one second that God has caused this pandemic. But I do believe this. I do believe that God can and will use this situation for our ultimate good if we continue to trust in Him as Joseph did. 13 years, church, listen to this. 13 years would pass before Joseph would step fully into God's plan for his life. Before Pharaoh called him out of the dungeon, 13 years from age 17 till he was 30. And throughout those 13 years, Joseph continued to trust God. He continued to trust God when his own brothers, his flesh and blood, rejected him. He continued to trust God when he was sold into slavery, into a foreign nation. He continued to trust God when he was accused of rape, something he did not do, and then was thrown into jail. This church, this time we're in now, this unprecedented time, this is not the time to shut God out. This is the time to reach out to Him even more. Even when Joseph was sold into slavery, Genesis 39 verse 2 tells us, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And He will be with you too. Here's another principle that Joseph lived by, and I believe we as the church should be living by and need to be living by at this time. In fact, any time. Joseph's coat had been stripped from him, but not his character. You know, Joseph's life is a powerful testimony of the benefits of maintaining our integrity while facing hardship and adversity. Here's something you might not realize about integrity. No one is given integrity. It's something you develop over time, and it is measured by your conduct, not your profession, not what you do. It is measured by what comes out of you, and what comes out of you is what's actually inside of you. For 13 years, God had been developing Joseph's character, and when it mattered most, he easily maintained his integrity. He navigated that situation with Potiphar's wife excellently. He managed it and navigated it without any problem whatsoever. Another key to Joseph's ultimate deliverance was his humility. When Pharaoh asked Joseph to interpret his dream, he resisted the temptation to claim that it was his ability. In Genesis 41 verse 16, Joseph's response was this. Listen to this, church. I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answers he desires. Wow. You've got to understand, church, he's been in jail for, I think, 7 years, something like that. I would want to get out. And here's his opportunity to promote himself, but he didn't. He's standing before Pharaoh, and he did not promote himself. He actually promoted God. Here was his golden opportunity to claim that this ability to interpret dreams was his own, but he didn't. Joseph was smart enough to realize that in God's economy, it is the power of humility that exalts us, not self-seeking pride. Matthew 23:12, Jesus makes this point. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. If you are faithful to God and simply use your gifts and your abilities with humility, hear the word of the Lord for you this morning. God will exalt you in due time. Joseph spent 13 years in preparation for God's plan to be realized. And when the time came, in accordance with God's plan, not Joseph's plan, not my plan, not even your plan, but according to God's plan, Joseph was fully equipped and ready for the task. Wow, what a powerful truth. Fourth point, God taught Joseph how to manage success well. You know, many people struggle to handle success well. I believe the main reason for that is simply this. We think success is because of our abilities. But the Bible tells us that all we have and all we are because of who He is. When God honors us with success and prosperity, and I'm not saying success and prosperity are a bad thing, because God does honor us with that. When we align ourselves with Him, when we follow His plan and His purpose, when we stay connected with who He is, God will bring you success. God does honor us with prosperity. Let's not forget, though, who the source of success is. It's God. Even though He was sold into slavery by His own family, no less, His own flesh and blood, His success in Egypt did not cause Him to seek revenge, although He could have easily justified doing so. Instead, Joseph chose to bless his family in their time of desperate need. Success, church, is a double-edged sword. It can work for you, or it can work against you. How many people do you know of whose lives have been absolutely ruined, torn apart, because they couldn't handle success well? Well, God taught Joseph how to manage success so that it worked for him and not against him, and worked for God's ultimate glory. Fifth one, we'll get there even quicker. And this is one that I believe is a word for a number of you listening this morning. And that is the power of forgiveness. We see this so clearly in Joseph's character. You know, there are two emotions that doctors and psychologists say have the power to change us both emotionally and even physically. Two incredibly powerful emotions. They are, number one, bitterness, and the second is resentment. People, show me a bitter and resentful person, and I will show you someone who you can never please, someone who's always looking for fault, usually in you, someone who struggles relationally themselves and has very few, if any, friends. How tragic is that? That's the destructive power of bitterness and resentment. Here's my question. Do you think that Joseph, from a human perspective, at a human level, do you think that Joseph had every reason to be resentful and bitter? Well, I do. I absolutely do, he did. He had every reason to feel that way, humanly speaking. Rejected by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused, and then thrown into prison. But Joseph, because of his love for God, chose not to allow unforgiveness to take up residence in his spirit. He rejected it. And by the time Joseph met his brothers in Egypt, he was now second only to Pharaoh. They didn't know that, but he's second only to Pharaoh. And the dreams that he had earlier of his brothers bowing down to him, even his father and his mother, his whole family, those dreams that he had earlier of them bowing down to him, chapter 37, became a reality when his brothers did indeed bow down to him with respect. Now, they didn't know that this guy in front of them was their brother Joseph, but he knew who they were. Church, listen to me. This would have been a perfect opportunity, would it not, for Joseph to take revenge, but he didn't do it. Even though they had sold their young brother into slavery, a crime that most of us would have a hard time forgiving. I get it. It would be difficult to forgive. But Joseph chose the better way. He chose forgiveness. I want you to hear this morning in your spirit. Forgiveness is always a choice. Sometimes it's a hard choice, but it will always be the right choice. Joseph's decision to forgive resulted in the restoration of his entire family. Wow, what a powerful truth. And it wasn't because his brothers were remorseful when they realized that who he was, and you'll check that out in chapter 45 of Genesis. It wasn't because they were remorseful. It was entirely because of the power of forgiveness. By the way, not only did forgiveness save Joseph's entire family, but it saved an entire nation. His decision to forgive his brothers ultimately saved an entire nation. Some of you need to hear this morning. If you are living with the destructive power of unforgiveness, do yourself and everyone else in your life a favor. Choose to forgive. And don't do it just for them. In the first instance, do it for yourself. Here's a wonderful saying. If you put forgiveness first, you will never come last. 6th one, just a couple more to go. In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of separation and isolation, pursue true prosperity. You know, true prosperity will not be measured in how much wealth you have accumulated. You know, you can be wealthy today and overnight be poor tomorrow. The current stock market, if you check that out, a lot of people have lost an awful lot of money. Every New Zealander is experienced by degrees that reality right now in some way, in some form. No, church, true prosperity, I believe, is evidenced in the way that you live your life. It's a relational prosperity. Sometimes God will put a Goliath in front of you to bring out the David inside of you. Joseph faced many Goliaths during his 13 years of preparation, but he never wavered in his faith as he continued to cultivate and pursue the one measure of true prosperity. That is his relationship with God and his relationships with others. That church is the measure of true prosperity, the quality of our relationships. And the final point I want to make, if we allow him, God can, God will use every experience, both good and bad, even the things that don't seem to fit, to bring about his plan in your life, in our church, our community, and in our nation. During his time in Egypt, Joseph worked as a slave, was arrested for a crime he did not commit, and was incarcerated in an Egyptian prison. It must have seemed to Joseph that nothing was working out for him at all. All of his plans, dreams, and schemes that he had, all of the good plans and dreams that he must have had as a young man, none of it was working out. That was until he eventually realized that God was indeed in ultimate control. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, let me read it to you again. Joseph, come to the conclusion in this verse that God was actually orchestrating and in control of the whole thing from beginning to end. Verse 20, you, he's talking to his brothers, intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. Church, sometimes things happen in our lives that seem out of place. But the events of Joseph's life show us they were no accident. For 13 years, God had been positioning him to be in the right place at the right time, and not just for Joseph's sake, but also that he would be in a position to save the lives of many, many people. Now, the life of Joseph demonstrates God's ability to transform undeserved difficulties into godly outcomes. I want to remind us, as followers of Jesus, God is in ultimate control, even when it seems that your world is out of control. If we allow him, what was meant for our harm, God can turn it around for good. I want to finish with a prayer and pray this over our church, over each one of you. And it's actually repeating a prayer that a friend of mine, Pastor Greg Morris, put out in the Baptist mail out this week. And what I find really intriguing about this is that he closed his prayer off with the very verse that I preached out of this morning, Genesis 50, 20. And we didn't have any conversation before that. Let's pray. May the bride of Christ find renewed strength in this time of national lockdown and a time of self-inspection and realigning of our lives that will once again bring you rightly to the center of all that we do. Show us anywhere in our hearts that you are not Lord. We desire to align ourselves with you so that we might be increasingly fruitful in our lives and in our ministries. And we pray for every family across this nation. It is your desire, God, that the hearts of the children return to their fathers, and the fathers once again turn to their children. May lockdown strengthen relationships and families afresh and cause them to consider the source of love, truth, repentance, forgiveness, and salvation. Let what the enemy has planned for evil be turned for the good of all. May there be a mighty harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.